Welcome back to the Why Hockey Periodical Podcast. With me is Matthew Lichtenstadter. I'm Thomas Krulikowski. Sergei Bobrovsky, 10 million, 7 years. We officially have a new franchise goalie.
For 3 years.
For 3 years.
Yes, basically.
Well, I don't
Or
know.
maybe
We'll have.
4 years.
Well, maybe even longer than seven if you're thinking it's a buyout.
Well, it is Bobby Bonilla Day. I have to say,
Okay.
it is Bobby Bonilla Day.
I'm happy. I'm relieved. All year it's kind of been assumed, especially by me, that Bobrovsky was signed, sealed, and delivered. It was just happening. With the season he had, with how many games he sat out, how many road trips he stayed home from, even the good first round wasn't enough to kind of swing it for me. And I knew it was going to be a big number. I knew that's just how it was going to work out, especially when the Islanders came out of nowhere and seemed to just want to play spoiler. But in the end, I went into this contract knowing it was really just to get the 3 years with Barkov, just to go for it right now. And you're going to have to buy it out. You're going to use a amnesty buyout after the lockout or whatever, or he's going to go back to Russia at like a certain point, like for the last 2 years, and you can just suspend the cap hit or whatever. They'll find a
Coval
way out
cap
of
hit.
it.
Coval
There's
cap hit.
no there was no comparable goalie on the market that you could
There's
trade
been no
for, that you could.
goalie that has reached this point since I don't know when the last time we've seen a
The
goalie like this.
only The only thing to be mad about is that the Panthers waited this long to do serious things about goaltending. And the fact that they waited so long, they had to do some real serious stuff, like use a 13th round or a 13th overall pick on a goalie and do 10 million a year on a goalie for 7 years, because they waited so long. So hopefully now that they addressed it, they'll just keep it going. They'll just keep adding on a goalie every year or every other year that has potential, and they just are patient and find the right time to move out of the Bobrovsky contract. They did okay with the Luongo contract, so you're pretty comfortable that they'll be able to do that with Bobrovsky too.
And the James Reimer thing, which was also very creative in the way they figured out that problem. The reason why I
Right,
think they were
I'll give him that too. That was decent.
the way that they
I didn't
fixed
think
it,
of that.
I didn't think it, well, the reason why is it's because Reimer's contract was structured differently with bonuses, which would have meant the buyout would have been a lot heavier. And so with Darling, it was structured a lot more, quote unquote, normally because of who
Yeah.
signed it and when it was signed. So the buyout is less of a cap hit. And also, by the time when you, I mean, it is longer, but the time you get to the last 2 years, the cap's going to explode anyway, so it's going to be immaterial. It was actually a really creative way to get out of the Reimer contract, and the Hurricanes could get out of Darling, and everybody was happy, and the Panthers got a draft pick out of it. I do want to say I really liked that deal. There are people out there who don't, but I loved that deal. I thought it was spectacular. And it was a really creative way of getting out from under a bad contract. The other thing I'm wondering
Again,
is,
it's an all right deal, but it shouldn't have gotten to that, and hopefully it doesn't get to that in the future.
this is correct. Now, I have to say, for those of you who want to hear a little inside baseball, if you follow me on Twitter, last night I was at the US Curacao Gold Cup quarterfinal game, and there's time between the two games of the quarterfinals that were being played in Philly. So I spent most of that time chasing down rumors about what was happening with the Panthers while I'm covering a soccer game, which it wasn't that bad because the first game was terrible and the US played kind of badly against Curacao anyway, but it was a very entertaining night of chasing down rumors on my Twitter feed while I'm also covering a soccer game and sitting in the press box at Lincoln Financial Field. That was very interesting. The thing about Bobrovsky that I will say, by the way, no move for the first 5 years, so he is automatically protected for the expansion draft. You kind of knew that was going to happen already. I think he and
Right.
Yandle are the only guys that have no moves, although Manby, Yandle by that point will be forced to waive it. We will find out. That's not unexpected. It might mean they lose Montembeau in the expansion draft, but we'll get to that another time. By the way, I should say that Dale Tallon said at his press conference today that it looks like Montembeau is going to compete for the backup job. I think unless they sign someone crazy, he's going to win it, which is how it should be. And
Well,
that's
I mean,
good.
yeah, there is no competition unless they bring
Unless
in a
they
new
sign.
goalie.
Yes.
And we'll talk about how few contracts they have. So it's 100% realistic and maybe even smart to bring in another goalie.
Yes.
If you're looking at who they have, but yeah.
It certainly looks like at this point that Montembeau could be the backup, which is what I wanted to say and what we could say. Very nice.
Well, you wanted him at least getting the shot.
And based on the way that goaltending is going in the league, you need somebody who you could trust to play 30 games. And I said earlier on the show this year, Montembeau's earned the trust to play 30 games. He's not a starter, but he's earned the trust to play 30 games, which is what you want. Now for Bobrovsky. It looked like for a while that it might come in at 7 digits, which if it came in at 7 digits would have been a huge win, and it didn't. But $10 million is not what the worst case scenario was. I thought it could have ended up being higher, and you knew it was going to be something like this. Everyone knew it was going to be something like this. The Panthers knew it was going to be something like this, and that's fine. And essentially, you're paying for a legitimate top-flight goalie who hasn't been all the way better than his peers, but has been very good among his peers, and certainly had a decent year last year, especially in the playoffs. You knew it was going to cost something like this. $10 million is fine. As I said, I feared it was going to be bigger than Carey Price at some point. It was not. That's not a bad thing. So the good news is they got it done. It looked like a fait accompli. It felt like a fait accompli, and it basically became a fait accompli. But they got him in. And now you just hope that he has still the capability of being a Vezina-caliber goalie for 55 games next year, and then hopefully in the postseason. That's what you're hoping for. That's what you're signing up for. Looks like that's an opportunity that the Panthers are going to be able to at least get the better of, because it looks like Varlamov's going to the Islanders. Who knows where Lehner goes, maybe Carolina. This was the option that made the most sense, and they got it done.
Sucks to get him at 10. I mean, 9.5, you know, 9.75. I mean, just to get it under 10 would be a win.
9.75.
I mean, maybe this is naive of me. I thought with how little competition there would be for his services. I mean, there's only really other one team that ever could really compete with Bobrovsky, and that was the Islanders. And I mean, there is no reason Bobrovsky would ever go there. Just from my perspective. So I thought you could get this a little lower with the tax incentive and the limited market, but I guess not. I guess Lou was able to drive up the price. I want to see what the Islanders, we'll never find out because of how Lamoriello operates, but to see what, you know, the Islanders did offer him. If they offered him, 11-something.
I heard a rumor that Panarin was offered more than the Panthers were going to give him, and certainly more than he got with the Rangers. And that would put him in McDavid territory. And there is a point in which you say, no, we're not going to do that. Even with a player like Bobrovsky, and even with a player like Panarin. And we didn't end up reaching it, but it's the Islanders who offered those deals. So
10 is like the... 10 was my ceiling. Like that, if I was the GM and it was my job, and because, let's be honest, Talon was given the order to sign Bobrovsky. Kind of like with Yandel, it was get it done. Do what it takes, get it done. And, you know, at that point, 10 is about the end of reason right there.
He closed the deal, and he got it done. Yeah. And it, again, last year...
Biggest offseason signing...
Since Bure.
Yeah.
He's also going to be the highest paid Panther since Bure, oddly enough, until Barkov beats it, which he will. And
has the ability to impact the team more than any prospect, free agent signing since Burr as well.
It is a big deal.
60 minutes a night at whenever he's in the net. And when he's on,
He's lost one time in regulation against the Panthers at something like a .940 save percentage or something ridiculous. So I'm glad he's not playing the Panthers anymore, which is obviously nice because the Panthers could beat the Blue Jackets the last couple of years.
Well, that's just because he was on the... they never beat the Flyers, so...
True in some ways. So that's Bobrovsky. We all kind of knew it was going to happen. Is the contract great?
Yeah, are you a little underwhelmed? Like, just, hearing that it is double digits, and that, it's kind of... It's here, like, maybe you were getting hyped up for the pair.
When I look back on Panarin, and we'll get to him in a second... It looks in hindsight, and it's always 2020, that Panarin was never thinking about Florida as seriously because he wanted to be a Ranger. Now, Bobrovsky, you kind of knew he was coming to Florida because there was no other choice. But I look at I look at the cap hit and be like, I expected something like this. I was expecting maybe even a little bit worse. Maybe that was just my worst fear. If it came in seven digits, I thought that the Panthers would have really been spectacular, in great shape if that happened. But it didn't quite happen. But 10 is not the worst thing that could have happened to the Panthers. And as we said, they'll find some way to get out of it in 3-4 years' time. There will be something. Whether it's a lockout, we'll get to that. Whether it's, you know, trading him to the Senators, maybe. I mean, who knows? But Bobrovsky's a Panther. It is, if you get Vezina caliber Sergei Bobrovsky, then that's a team that instantly is better than any Panthers team in recent years, because they just have the goaltending. Like, Luongo's his moments, but other than that, like, they never had somebody who you could count on, like, okay, if he needs to win us a game, he can win us a game. That's important.
Right. He can win you playoff series over the next three seasons, and that's,
that's the window.
That's the window. And that's where everything has to be looked at.
So let's get into the other three signings. Well, who do you want to start with? You want to start with Strawman? Because I think we talked a lot about D.
Well, I mean, I think let's start with the, the negative, as in, like, the absence of a signing.
Okay. Panarin. Let's go with Panarin. Okay. So
just to put a bow on the whole Twins.
So he signed with the Rangers. It was basically what Austin Matthews got, almost identical. I think the cap hit, if Cap Friendly is correct, it's 11.642. Matthews is basically identical to that. Now, is Artemi Panarin as good as Austin Matthews or as impactful as Austin Matthews? Not necessarily, but you can understand why, obviously, the Rangers would give him that much money, and apparently he took less than what he was offered elsewhere, which the Islanders clearly offered more. As I said, I heard a rumor that it was McDavid-type money that he was being offered, and at that point I'm like, you don't necessarily need somebody at McDavid money, even though he's really, really good. You can't pay him McDavid money.
Given what Florida was able to top up on with Bobrovsky after I think they found out Panarin was out of their reach or wasn't coming, and what the final number in the New York range was, I think it's pretty certain that Florida and Talon offered 7 years at the Florida rate for what the Rangers offered at the minimum, if not.
I think
the Islanders
as much as 12. I think that they would have gone as high as 12, but that's
least they offered the tax prorated Florida version of New York City 12.
Yes.
That's for certain. So I don't think they got outbid by post tax dollars. I think this was a city. This was a location. Maybe if Fort Lauderdale was closer to Miami, or maybe if Fort Lauderdale was just Manhattan.
I don't think it is. I think it's just he wanted to be in Manhattan. He wanted to be a Ranger. Maybe he could buy Vinny Viola's old condo. He has enough money to do that.
Well, I mean, if he didn't mind traveling to the city, he could have been an Islander.
Well, I mean, you have to live on Long Island, then you have to travel to Brooklyn, and then you got to rub shoulders with Kyrie Irving. That could get a little bit dicey. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I'm just saying.
But I mean, like, it seriously looks like,
it's 45, it's like the same distance from the island to Manhattan as it is from, where the Panthers play to Miami. So, if that distance didn't bother him, he would have taken the larger money, you would think.
I think
if it was just about Manhattan.
Play in Manhattan,
but I think,
and Manhattan only.
And the Rangers are a better team. I think, the Rangers, you can argue, have just as much of a chance to win over the course of his 7 years as the Panthers, because the Rangers are a team that's going to throw money into it. It seems that that Gordon, their GM, is pretty capable. He was a pretty good drafter in Boston, and he's come over and made some pretty slick deals since he's taken over in New York.
They're better than the Panthers right now, as we
know. No, but they just got an influx of Panarin and Kako. They had 2 years, and they had 2 years in a row of two first-round draft picks.
They have guys now. Are they up to that yet? They need to get better up the middle.
But I'm just saying, over the course of the 7 years, I think you could say that the Rangers probably have as many shots at the Cup than the Panthers.
Correct.
And I think maybe Panarin's saying, the Islanders don't have that many shots.
That's also correct.
And Manhattan's better than Miami.
That's probably how what it comes wanted to be in New York. I think that was just the equalizer. Yeah. He wanted to be in Manhattan.
And you can't be mad about that. You can't, like, the Florida is just not at the point where they're going to be able to outgun the New York Rangers for free agents, because the New York Rangers, besides the Toronto Maple Leafs, no one else is in the category of the Rangers as getting UFAs.
Any type of
free agents, really.
So there's a fascinating dynamic with that. I can't be mad. I said last week on the podcast it looked like it was going to be more of the Panthers.
It stinks.
But the reason why I said that is because I thought they were legit going to be a package deal.
Well, expanding on that, with Coach Q, with Dadanoff, they just had that context fit. And it's not often that a team like Florida has some of the big context, you know, and situational fits and intangibles in a situation that, you know, come into play. Like, he wanted to be by a beach, check. You know, that crosses off teams. He wanted, you know, a certain amount of money, check. He wanted, you know, a certain type of, you know, demographic on the team, check. You know, we had the Russian speakers and all that. And we just didn't have the last thing, which was
Manhattan. Well, I mean, let's be fair. They do have Manhattan, just a little older version of Manhattan.
I don't think that Panarin, right, it's just the relocated Manhattan.
It's a relocated version of Manhattan, well, that's about 40 minutes
and
north
Queens.
Of Sunrise. No, it's actually more the Bronx, if I can tell you from experience. Yeah. It's kind of more the Bronx, but that's semantics in this. We're talking about Del
Fair enough.
Davis,
maybe I have,
if you didn't know that.
Maybe I have my boroughs mixed up.
I also know the history.
I'm not an expert on that.
I also know the history of the Jews in that area and where they went to and what the situation was. Family dynamics play a very big role in that. So that's semantics, but you all know that. But anyway, just the last thing, as I said, is you can't be mad because the Panthers, they didn't underbid. They didn't, you know, do it as a cursory thing. They got outbid and outgunned because he wanted to play in Manhattan. And again... At a point, you can just go.
It just stings. You couldn't leverage the Q factor. You couldn't leverage the beach, you know, because it's a better beach than Manhattan Beach. I'll tell you that.
Better than Brighton Beach. I'll tell you that much.
You know, it just stings a little bit, but it'll pass. And you know, I will say to follow it up, you know, we don't have to get too much into this, but there's Paul Giarvi out there. Val Nichushkin is going to be a real cheap buy, and this is a guy that Jagr's quoted as saying, you know, is going to be one of the best in the league at some point.
I said that.
You know, and so there's a lot of guys that I think fit this style of hockey that they want to play, especially looking at the Achari and Connolly signings. Mm-hmm. You know, Puljujarvi went on his game, is a puck possession, back you up, you know, using his body type winger, same with Val Nichushkin. And they're guys that are buy low,
sell high,
you know, sell high type, or you know, or he's going to play on your ice, you know, give you good on ice contributions. Mm-hmm. If you don't sell them. So, and I see that they got their 27 year olds, they got their 30s, so it's looking like probably Brower won't be back. Sheehan definitely won't be back.
Hallelujah.
I could see Brower coming in on a PTO. I could see Brower coming in on something under a mil later in the summer if he's still out there because you know they might need that fill.
Maybe they need somebody to sell tickets.
Who knows? But I'm not saying Brower's definitely out, but I think Sheehan's definitely out. I think bringing in Connolly and Achari put Colton Sevier on the trade board. If there's any four, they have 10 forwards, you know, plus Malgin, who are really NHL forwards right now. And, you know, Sevier's the only one you could even, like, realistically see. They're obviously not going to trade Connolly. They just signed him.
No, but, you know. And you can't really trade Hoffman at this point. I mean,
they're not trading Petrano or anything.
I think Vetrano could be moved at some point, maybe as make weight in a bigger deal, but that's a trade deadline thing. So let's get to the signing.
No, I think, yeah.
Let's get to the signing. I want to start with Strahlman because we talked about the Panthers.
Second best one after Bobrovsky.
We need to talk about them needing D. And Anton Strahlman, we mentioned it. If that was a free agent, that was the guy to go after. They didn't go for Tyler Myers, thank God. The Canucks screwed that up. They didn't go for Jake Gardner because they didn't need another D like they already had. Anton Stroman is a different kind of D. And he's also a Swede. He's the first Swede on the Panthers since Jacob Markstrom, which is, you know, we get our Swede quotient. But, okay, I'll start by saying this. The AAV sucks. It's bad. It is an overpay. It is not, however, as bad of an overpay as you think it is, because I look at the Hockey Graphs contract projections, which are posted. Just Google it and look it up. It was around $4.5 million for Stroman on a three-year deal. If you give or take $500,000, which is a reasonable range for a lot of these projections, that's where I say, as I said, the reasonable range is. So they went over by $500,000. It is an overpay. Anton Stroman's not what he was. But if he's deployed correctly, and you would assume that Joel Quenneville knows how to deploy defensemen correctly, if he's put in a situation to succeed, he is a different kind of defenseman than the big three that the Panthers have, and that is 100% necessary for this team. As I said, I would have liked them to have traded for somebody from Carolina. They couldn't. I guess the deals wouldn't have worked out with, you know, a Calgary or even a Philadelphia. But it is a D that is different than what they have. Now, I saw the comment, and I don't think it was for Quenneville, I think it was from Talon. He said he could play with Matheson, which...
That's what you want.
The ideal, I think, for now, and...
Start camp with it. Let's just say that. Let's just start camp with it and take it from there. And because he was paired with Hedman when Hedman was going through his little sophomore, you know, like his kind of floundering issues. And, you know, he's a righty, and they're pretty... Florida's usually been hell-bent with keeping lefties on the left, righties on the right, besides Pisick and Weegar. So I think that's going to be the best play. He can't really help. He can mitigate and kind of cover up for Yandel, but you're not getting that added benefit of the experience, having that wily veteran kind of add something to another player, make them better. Yandel is what he is. His old dog can't teach new tricks type of situation. And, you know, maybe Weegar slides in there.
Yeah. But but as I said, Matheson seems like the reasonable play here, and it will allow Mike Matheson to do the things that he's good at without asking him to do things that he can't do. And that's what we said for D. We wanted it mostly for Ekblad, but for Matheson, it helps. And
Means at this point, it's Yandel Ekblad.
Which, I mean, because Joel Quenneville's a real coach...
Possibly not, but...
I would think... You know what it could be? Because I would think... I would... You know what I might try? Again, training camp, see what happens. I want to see Ekblad and Weegar play together. I want to see what happens when they play together. Because we haven't seen that. You know, Yandel, give him essentially a free roll on offense. Say, you do whatever the heck you want, and whoever the 6D is plays there. Whether that's Pesek, I think he's going to get traded... or somebody else, like, that would be the best balance of your pairs. We will find out what happens as time goes on. I think this signing works, again, if he's deployed correctly. Is it an overpay? Yes. Is it 1 year too long? Maybe.
And it's a bit of a forced overpay because, I mean, I guess Edler... There's really only Edler and Myers' contract that would push it. Push it up.
Myers got six. Garner's going to get more than that. But as I said, Myers is terrible. Alex Edler wasn't leaving Vancouver. And Jake Gardner is a guy that the Florida Panthers didn't need another one of. So, and it's also 3 years. So right as the Barkov and Trocheck contracts expire, Stroman's off the books. That's very important. And as I said, by that point, you should have other D in your system that you trust and you're willing to give a chance to replace him. So I don't dislike this signing. I think, again, would I have liked it to be Provorov or somebody younger? Yes, but it is a different kind of D.
I don't think that's out of possibility. I mean, obviously they would have to make some salary cuts and stuff. And, you know, while we talked about Sevier and Pisick being realistic option, that's only 3.9. And then you're maybe just getting Provorov in there, but they still are missing a left-handed D that they need to bring in. I don't think they can rely on their left-handed D prospects being ready. We already know that Mikoshin has either been stagnating or, yo-yoing and kind of not allowed to progress depending on your angle or your perspective.
Our prospect rankings before. So maybe
Stillman You know, I mean, like,
Or it could
but
be
that's something that
or
you
it
want to
could
play
be.
out in camp. But I mean, whether it's, you know, a 1 year, $1 million contract to a lefty, they got to put somebody down the left side because you have Matheson, Ekblad. I mean, not Matt, you have Matheson and Yandel, and then
Ian McCaution,
what?
But
you know, so you got to do a little better than that.
I mean, as I said, you're looking at Riley Stillman. You're
and it would be, and you know, if you didn't have to overpay Strawman, you know, that million is that backup. But
not
again,
yet, but that's like the only other some semi decent lefty that you have that's even remotely close, unless they sign somebody, and they always could. We'll find out. By the way, I should say, because we're recording this as things are happening, the Blackhawks are about to sign Robin Lehner. Interesting. And the Hurricanes are re-signing Mrazek. So it means the Islanders are signing Varlamov, which is what you all figured. But to get back to the Strawman point, I mean, as I said, Pešek has to be traded at this point. You can't. I mean, if you're going to play Uyghur, you need to get rid of Pešek, and you could get something for him based on the prices that D have been going for. So we'll see what they can get for him. And then, as I said, maybe it's a camp guy. Maybe it's a one-year tryout contract. But as long as they leave a little bit of space at the deadline to go out and get that left-handed defenseman, and then...
I don't think they can wait that long.
They're going to go out and get somebody. But if they really need to supremely upgrade, they'll have the ability at the trade deadline to do it.
Right, yeah. And then that's when you kind of have to balance having Hoffman as your rental or getting a left-handed D. So it depends on who's available, what the actual price would be, yada
yeah,
yada yada.
Way too far out to say, but it,
yeah,
again,
exactly.
But I'm okay with Strawman. It is the
right.
AAV is too much, but the player himself will work.
You just have to make sure that it's, you know, you don't have to buy it out. I think that's the goal. If you can get this to be two good years of contribution, and then, you know, you just kind of eat that last year.
Senators.
Yeah, or something. You figure out what to do with the last year, but you got to stop having contracts earmarked to buy for buyouts. The Panthers aren't a big city, big money team like Philadelphia is owned by Comcast and all that they can just burn through all this money. At some point, if they're going to be spending to the cap and stuff, a lot of it has, and winning Stanley Cups, a lot of it has to be in real players and not dead money.
This is correct. So let's move
on
to... So
they kind of just have to start transitioning that way.
Yeah, let's move on to signing number three, which maybe we're going to have an argument about Brett Connolly. I like this deal a lot. I really do. There's a lot about Brett Connolly that I think is going to work. Firstly, he is basically all offense. He doesn't play defense. And for this Panthers...
All offense, he just broke 30 points the first year this year.
This is
all
true.
Offense, by the way.
This is true. I'm saying it... I'm focusing on this last year, but he also had that potential. He wasn't given quite the assignments he was given this past year in Washington, the year before. He also can play second power play, but I think all but one of his goals were even strength goals. So there's an interesting dynamic that could play here. I think at best he might be a tweener. Like, he probably starts on the third line, but if he plays well, you could put him with Trocheck and it
no,
might work.
No, no. Oh,
uh-oh.
This is the problem. We can't keep doing – he's just broke 30 points for the first time at 27, getting a ton of minutes on a team – on a Washington team that was playing well after a cup victory, but also was underplaying, you know, Burakovsky for reasons and other stuff. So he was getting pushed up the, you know, the minutes artificially and getting power play time he shouldn't be getting in Florida. So I don't understand why, one, you want to commit 4 years to this guy, but, you know, you couldn't commit 4 years to Jared McCann. Or, you know, you couldn't live out the Bjugstad contract,
well,
or you couldn't
Connolly
go for Jonas Donskoy, or you couldn't go for Richard Ponick, who's better and cheaper, or you couldn't and shorter term, or you couldn't go
no,
for
Ponick's
you know a lot of
term. It's the same term.
Okay, well, there's bottom six wingers and fourth line centers are dime a dozen. You can find one or two NHL level ones in any month of the year. as long as you do your due diligence and do your work. And a part of being a data-driven team like Florida says they are, you know, is the ability to do that due diligence on players and to have, you know, a model to base it on. And you're hoping that it works on Connolly, but, I mean, they just signed two forwards, one, you know, who's never hit 20 points and one who just broke 30 points for the first time. They're both signed for through the Stanley Cup window we just talked about at a combined $5 million. That's potential buyout material, and that's not NHL points. You can say that, you know, NHL points prospects, fine. But you're looking at Connolly. He's only a shot. And he's, you know, he's not a guy who gets shot assists. He's not a guy who drives play. He's a guy who's dependent on his line mates. If there's anything Florida didn't need in their bottom six, it was having their prospects needing to drive a line for the veterans. They're done. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of Borgstrom getting yelled at because he can't carry a Jamie McGinn type up and down. That's what you get with Brett Connolly. Yeah, he's a little faster and younger, but I mean, it's because he didn't have his back surgery yet. He's going to get there. Don't worry. Hopefully it's not during our contract with him, but I'm sure he'll get there. You know, he doesn't handle the puck well. He doesn't enter the zone well. There's a lot of – he doesn't play defense well. Achari at least is somewhat good with preventing shots, if you can attribute, you know, preventing shots to his play on Boston and not, you know, just the natural Boston system. But –
so here's my thing about what I like about Connolly, what I think that could work here, is if you give him a role, and again, we are assuming that Joel Quenneville is a perfectly reasonable NHL head coach, he knows how to get the best out of a player like that. A guy who may get second power play, I said may, can drive, he had 24 assists last year, it's not like he didn't have
but
any.
I know you're going with this, but I don't want to have to sign a guy to a 4-year contract that to get the most out of him at this cap hit, at this term, you have to create a specialized role for him and really booster him and feed him. Brett Connolly is not worth that attention and focus. It takes it away from prospects. That's power play time. Tippett, Borgstrom, Malgin, all those guys should be getting.
Malgin's not a power play guy.
Brett Connolly's not fuck Brett Connolly. I'd rather have Dennis Malgin on the power play. He's good at tipping and he's got a hard, low, accurate shot and he's good at zone entries. That's what Florida has an issue outside of their top end guys holding on to the puck, gaining possession. Malgin's really good at stripping the puck and skating it down the ice and keeping control of it in the zone. They have just a bunch of guys who can just like bang pucks and shoot and just take a lot of shots. They have a lot of one-dimensional shoot-only players, especially, you know, in their second and third lines. I don't understand it. They need more playmakers, and maybe they're really betting on Heppo Niemi being great this year, but I would take somebody who, you know, maybe has a higher skill level than Brett Connolly or Noah Kari or however Chari or however we're going to pronounce his name, or, you know, somebody that's younger and has more potential or, you know, is cheaper or shorter term or something. Give me something more to be excited about than this guy just broke 30 points, or, you know, this guy, you know, is really gritty. He played with broken ribs or whatever he did.
I don't care about that.
Right, but that's the sell. The sell is they played playoff games. The sell is they have good character. Their sell is, you know, blah, blah, blah. If that's the sell, don't sign him to 4 years. Don't sign him to 3 years. 1-2 years. Okay, I'll stomach it. I know I'm probably droning on and on, but it's just, you know, this is a simple mistake that the team constantly makes and they say they're going to stop doing. Like, you know, this is the 10th year of the talent blueprint and we're still going and signing the same type of crap bottom six wingers to the same 4-year, 3-year contracts that we said we were going to stop when we got good, when we became contenders. Now we're in our contending window doing it. And these guys, you know, we're not getting these great players. Okay. We're getting mediocre guys who do this one little tiny thing pretty good, and in 18 months, we won't even want them on the team anymore.
Okay.
And we'll have to deal with them.
Are you done?
I don't know. Is Florida done?
Well, we'll find out.
Is Florida done stop replacing Derek McKenzie? Like, come on. Well, we just got over this.
Let me say something about Connolly first, and why I think this could work.
Riley Sheehan has hit 30 points in like four times the amount of seasons as Brett Connolly.
Okay.
Just for perspective for this guy who's really good on the power play and really good on 5-on-5 offense. Hmm. Just for perspective.
Okay, you are correct about these things. You're not wrong. I'm not saying that you are. I think that why I like this signing is because it gives the Panthers an opportunity to have a player who could end up changing this into something a little bit more. Well, is it necessarily going to happen? No. Here's what I'll say about Richard Ponick. He signed for $500K less over the same 4-year term for the
Capitals.
But
it's not just him. It's that you can you'll be able to find a Richard Ponick or a Brett Connolly in August. It's that there's Jonas Donskoy at 3.9.
Now it was, the Panthers drafted him and couldn't sign him, so I don't think that Donskoy was ever a realistic option.
It's a whole different coach. It's a whole different ballgame now. But I mean, like, you know, there's. But again, we're not talking about there only being one or two other comparable players. Like, my argument is Brett Connolly is a dime a dozen. The most common NHL players are bottom six wingers and fourth line centers. And those are the two forwards that the Panthers prioritize on day one and sign to term. The two type of players you're not supposed to prioritize and sign to term in free agency.
Well, I will say this about Brett Connolly.
They basically are betting on guys that you can, at best, you can argue they asked Coach Q to watch the playoffs this year and to pick out two bottom six wingers they could sign that he wouldn't mind using for 3 years. And these are the two names that they could, that were on his list that also had interest in Florida. That's probably what happened. I mean, because there's no other reasoning to give these guys term and all this stuff when you can get the same type of, you know, like they're interchangeable. No reason to believe that Dennis Malgin won't have as good of a year as Brett Connolly. Like they like, or won't be as valuable in some aspects over 3 to 4 years as Brett Connolly. Especially if you give that time to him. And like, if we're talking about him going to the second line instead of, say, Vetrano or Borgstrom or Tippett or any of these guys, that's not only hurting the Panthers' chances of winning a game, that's hurting the development of these prospects, it's hurting their value. I mean, we do this song and dance every year, and every time people tell me, oh, it's way too early to worry about this, or, you know, you're making too big of a deal, but then we have to, you know, then we're wondering why we don't have these guys developed and needed, and we have to overpay the next free agency to get these guys who are ready for this role, for this minor supporting role. It's because we don't do develop. It's a circle. It's a circle, and they don't break it.
It's a flat circle. Anyway, I am okay. I like the Connolly signing because of what he could become and the options that it does give the Panthers in ways. Less favorable out of Chari. Don't understand why this is happening unless if you're pro
stats and stuff. All the stats are at best mediocre on Connolly, and
he was
Connolly wasn't. He just basically got shots. He just basically played up Washington's lineup, who have good control of the play, who run the offense.
But I know what you mean.
They did enough, but I mean. He's a Jamie McGinn type. Jamie McGinn can get 15 goals.
He's more skilled than Jamie McGinn. He's more skilled than Jamie McGinn.
It doesn't result in anything, though. He doesn't use it.
What?
I would say he's less intelligent even than a Jamie McGinn. I think Jamie McGinn has less skill and does more with it than Brett Connolly, who has more skill and does less with it.
As I said, I'm okay with the Connolly signing. I like it and what it could become. I didn't understand Achari, except for one thing. If it meant that Shane and Brower are not coming back, then I will give him a pass.
But, again, that's such a low bar that...
I know.
Like, if that's the bar, how are we a contender? How are we going to win a playoff round if that's our bar? You know?
Because, as I'm going to tell you, as a New York Mets and a Jacksonville Jaguars and a Maryland Terrapins fan, you have to go in with no expectations at all times, because then you won't
but
be having your...
this is a team that inherently goes into stuff with expectations, and they should, because they're in their Stanley Cup window. They have to have... that's expectations.
I'm saying...
you have Barkov and Huberto for $5.9 million for 3 more years.
It is different, Tommy, to say that my expectations... because I'm a jaded sports fan who's gone through a lot of crap, as opposed to what the Panthers think they should be. I'm going to not equate those two things, because they're different in many different ways. When it comes to Achari, he's a decent fourth-line forward. I don't know why you needed to give him 3 years. I don't know why you needed to give him that amount of money. If you trade Colton Sevier, again, maybe somewhat reasonable. If you do that, if you do all these other things, and I have no idea whether the Panthers are going to do that. Listen, I'm not a fan of that. But if in the end... like, that's what ends up being, fine.
Nola Achari's literally an older Yuho Lamico.
But like, Yuho Lamico is not as good defensively.
What are you talking about? You're judging his, like, what, 40 games at 8 minutes a night over Achari's 3 years in the NHL defensively? I mean, it's just, he played on the team, the Florida Panthers team, that gave up the most goals in franchise history last year. Eight minutes a night. His relative stats are going to be way off the chart. Like, they're just going to be bad.
In the AI either, but
I mean, he.
Listen, I'm not defending the Achari signing.
He's a player that Kekalainen really likes and says is very intelligent and good in the defensive zone, and that, you know, Talon really likes and says good in the defensive zone. And until they got Riley Sheehan, they, you know, were. Everybody was talking up Lamico and how good he was defensively and how much better he made the fourth line. Everybody, fans, team, Goldie, Jameson, like, this was the... And then once they got Sheehan, it was, oh, you know, then it's just,
was,
they just forgot about Lamico.
I was souring on him as he was playing more, but...
Yes,
I mean,
as he was playing more with McGinn on a team that was just going into the toilet and had no direction. And, yeah, I mean, I'm not judging him by that. What I saw was progress over the year, a player who's can win faceoffs, has the size and the defensive acumen to be a fourth-line center in the team that Quenneville wants to have. And I can't see him not becoming like a Kruger type or like Sobotka type fourth-line center. And let's start developing that now, because it might only take, you know, one season, and then season two and three, we have a, you know, under $1 million top end fourth line center.
As I said, I'm not a fan of signing him. There was no real need to. But
there's a lot of fans of these two forward signings, so.
Well, I'm okay with Connolly. I like that
from the fan perspective.
I mean, well, again, what have I said about Florida Panthers fans? Sometimes we're not. It's not the most critical fan base in the world.
Sometimes it's more of a community than a hockey.
I know what you're saying. It feels like a small town, a small town in a small place where not a lot of people move into, because not a lot of people.
Oklahoma.
What town in Oklahoma are we talking? Anyway, I'm not a fan of. Achari was kind of needless, but as I said, if you're not signing Brower and Sheehan, please, Lord. If you could maybe trade away Sevier, because he's now not necessarily needed as much, then it becomes tolerable. It's not great. I'm not a fan of it. But overall, when you look at what could have happened, obviously everyone wanted Panarin, and it's unfortunate that it didn't happen because of the New York thing. They got Bobrovsky. They got a defenseman that is different to the defenseman that they have. That's important. And while whether you like the Connolly signings and Achari signings, I'm not defending Achari at all. Connolly, I will give more rope to. It's not the worst offseason. It's not the best offseason. It's not giving Brandon Tanev 6 years. Can't believe a team actually did that. It's not giving Tyler Myers $6 million a year. Thankfully, my team didn't do that. You know, it's not the Minnesota Wild saying, well, Matt Zuccarello plays like his tongue's hanging out of his mouth, like he's some sort of Kiss cover band act or something. So, okay.
Oh, I liked that. I thought that was funny.
Well, I always thought of a Kiss cover band, so there you are.
It was a good metaphor. It was very descriptive.
It was, but that's about the only good thing in construction that Paul Fenton has done since he took over as GM of the Minnesota Wild. In terms of that overall, is not the worst offseason. It's not the best offseason. Obviously, the only real way it could have been the best offseason was Artemi Panarin. And obviously, that didn't happen, and it looks like we look in the background now that it just was not going to happen. I will say, as we look at it now for the Panthers,
really played it up like it was going to happen, though.
Well, of course they did, because they sell hope. You sell wins, you sell hope, and the Panthers can't sell wins. So you have now a team that has a real goalie, a team with a two-time Vezina-winning goalie. You have a real coach, a coach that does know what he's doing. That makes them better by default, because last year they're an 86-point team with historically great offense and historically bad defense. Both of those totals are going to go down this year, as it normally would be. So, are they better than Toronto, Tampa, and Boston, whose free agent periods have been basically window dressing? At this point, no. Are they a playoff team? I can say that, are they better on the whole than maybe the Penguins on just a roster perspective? Possibly. Are they better than the Rangers at this point, because the Rangers don't have a lot of centers? Are they better than other teams that they're competing with? I would say they're good enough right now to be a playoff team.
They a playoff bubble team, yeah. Like, they're shooting for a wild card spot right now,
unless somebody else falls off, which is always possible, but I don't think when you look at the top three teams, you're like, again.
But there's a lot of competition, even in their own division. I mean, Montreal's clearly making moves.
Can we talk about the Aho offer sheet? I guess we should talk about that. An actual offer sheet happened in our lives.
I should have made some bet with you. That would have won the line.
I was convinced an offer sheet was going to happen. If there's any year, it was going to be this one. The Aho offer sheet is fascinating, but as the Hurricanes have so neatly tweeted, they're going to match it. So that was a lot of fun for 2 minutes. Good for Mark Bergevin for doing it because, well, he needs centers. Although, you know, maybe he doesn't need another guy who's a better version of Jonathan Drouin. Let's be fair. I mean, I'm happy that we saw one. It is a front-loaded, bonus-laden offer sheet, but Carolina's going to match it. Like, you heard what Don Waddell said. It's like, oh, I thought it was going to be higher than that. It's basically the structure that was trying to put the Hurricanes off, and they're going to sign it. I mean,
yeah. I think right now both teams are just kind of trying to show off some swagger. You know, like Bergeron saying, well, he wants to come here. He wants to be a Habit because he signed the deal. You know, and then you have Waddell basically saying, well, you know, we're going to match it. I thought it could have been worse. But at the end of the day,
tweeting like, are we matching this offer sheet? Yes or we?
But at the end of the day, Montreal wanted to do one thing. Let teams there know they were open for business and to do a lot. Let their fan base that there know that they were going to go for it right now. And, you know, stick it to Carolina and force them into making a bad decision because they're fighting Carolina for a wild card spot. If they can take a lot of their cash supply out of their stock right now off the top, you know, of free agency, that's going to help them beat them to a playoff spot next year. That's for sure, because Montreal is going to have a lot after this gets matched, and we'll have certainly a hunger to do something to kind of make up for the disappointment of, you know, this thing getting matched
It is going to be interesting, of course, for the Hurricanes now that Aho was going to come at 8.454, whatever it is, and it's just the bonus-laden structure. But again, he's going to sign. There is no doubt about that. We'll see what else they do to try to, you know, spend less money because of just the way that the salary expenditure and the cap hit works. But good for Montreal for doing it, but I have no idea what they do once it gets matched. I really don't. Like, what do you think they do? Because, like, they're a team that's got a lot of annoying players. I like Max Domi. I like some of the guys they have, but they still don't have a lot of centers. You know, they haven't really dynamically made that roster a lot better. You know, you've got you've got Price, but I don't know what they're, if this doesn't work, and I don't think it's going to, what do they do then? Like, who do they trade for? Because they need a center. I think they need somebody, and like, what center is available, you know, if they don't get Aho? And Carolina, as I said, I would be 100% shocked if they don't match.
That's a good question. What center would they get? I think at that point you're looking at trades because that's the market. right there.
I mean, you don't have much else to. They don't have much else that they can do.
I mean, unless you're thinking of, you know, just putting all your cap space into
another offer,
Mitch Marner. But I mean, like,
well, by
or
the way,
Braden Point,
if Sebastian
maybe Braden Point's
back
next
on an offer sheet. They thought that Point was going to be too difficult to offer shoot, so they went with Aho instead. If Aho's worth what he's worth on an offer sheet, there's no way Mitch Marner is anywhere near close to what he says he's worth, which is hilarious. So congratulations to the Montreal Canadiens for screwing Mitch Marner and Paul Marner, basically, out of that. And the Leafs also cleared the decks, getting rid of Connor Brown and Nikita Zaitsev to the Senators. That was a funny trade. You don't realize how the Senators are basically all Leafs cast-offs. Like, it's...
But, I mean, it's funny because that trade helps Florida. I mean, to do what the Leafs do, for put everything back to their home team. Getting Cody Ceci is great for Florida.
Yes, because he's terrible.
You know, they not only got Cody Ceci, they got Harper, who's also pretty
bad. I mean, here's the thing that I worry about with Toronto. And with Boston, I worry about this less because they've found guys like Marcus Johansson and turned them into something, and, you know, Noel Achari and turned them into something. The Leafs, they signed Nick Shore, what's left of Jason Spezza, Kenny Agostino, Kevin Gravel. It's bargain shopping, obviously. And while those players could work, and I trust Kyle Dubas, that's a lot. And, I mean, Travis Dermott's going to miss the start of the season. Other than Riley and Muzzin, you need one of your, like, Liljegrens and Sandines to really step up. And you also have to hope and pray that Mike Babcock trusts them as opposed to trusting Cody Ceci, who you know he's going to love. And Toronto fans are going to hate. So I'm really interested to see the Cody Ceci thing. Also, they don't have a backup goalie, and they need a backup goalie because they burnt...
Curtis McElhinney.
No, they didn't sign McElhinney. The Lightning did.
Yes, they did. No, did they?
No, it's the Lightning.
They have the same pretty much logo, you know, the color scheme. It's hard to tell.
But that's my thing with the Leafs. It's like they just need the depth to really play well. And I think some of those guys can play well, you know, i.e. like Tyler Ennis types.
Oh, they have Michael Hutchinson, if that's anything to you.
It's not anything to me. They would need somebody like Sandin and Liljegren. They have prospects that can work.
And Sandin, at least, you know, has put up ridiculous numbers in the AHL, as a rookie, to think.
Like, does Mike Babcock trust him? Does Dave Hakstol trust him? By the way, isn't that hilarious? The Leafs' new assistant coaches, Florida Panthers washout and Flyers washout. Isn't that great?
Yeah, as much credit as Dubas gets for being, you know, smart and, you know, almost infallible, there's a lot of things that I kind of shake my head at, and, you know, this Zaitsev trade is one of them.
Well,
the Zaitsev contract
was
one of
them.
Yeah, but, I mean, at the end of the day, he's still putting Cody Ceci out on the ice for a full season. Season where they, you know, in a season that could be the make or break season for Mike Babcock, you're putting Cody Ceci out on the ice willingly.
I'm going to give you some tinfoil hat conspiracy theory here. Are you ready? Are you ready for this?
He's trying to sabotage.
He's trying to sabotage Mike Babcock with Cody Ceci, who he knows he's going to love. So
that he
can
get
friend,
Sheldon Keefe.
It's good friend Sheldon Keefe becomes head coach. Yes. Tinfoil hats away.
I mean, you know I'm all for that.
Oh, so. I love that. That's so funny. It's a matter of whether for the Leafs, it's can these, like, lower down the lineup guys, whether it's, as I said, it's Spetzer, Shore, Mikalev, or whoever.
Spetsa and Shore are great contracts. No other team could sign Spetsa at that contract. No. Obviously, the Panthers couldn't sign Shore at that contract because they pretty much stunted his career, so he's not coming back to Florida.
Well, that was Devin Shore. That was a different... Oh, wait, no. Actually, that was Nick Shore. You're correct. I'm sorry. I'm getting them mixed up.
Wait, no. Drew Shore.
We got them all wrong. I'm sorry, Drew Shore, if you're listening to this show.
Well, Nick Shore is still good, and any Shore would have the same feelings. Because Drew Shore is just that awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's what the Leafs have done, and they're going to have depth issues. That's my concern with them. The Bruins, I mean, they signed Par Lindholm, again, Flyer. They signed Brett Ritchie, Flyer. You know, they've signed guys who could be Flyers and just work in the bottom six, fine. The Lightning only signed Luke Shen. I mean, he's bad.
It's it's different taking flyers and signing those guys when you have a system and a culture that's working and you've done it before. So like Boston, we're talking about how they've, you know, been able to just kind of replicate Gregory Campbell and Daniel Paille over and over again. And
they've turned out, you know, a cottage industry of them.
And then they just let him go into free agency and let other teams, you know, take him. And besides, you know, Matt Beleksy, they don't really sign those guys themselves. And I think, you know, that's something Florida should look into, because it's the teams that constantly compete in the playoffs that do that.
Yeah,
that,
the Lightning, you know, in a lesser extent, but not as much.
You know, if they want to kind of overpay, quote unquote, for those types of guys, do you know how they do it? They do it at trade deadline on expiring deals.
Yes.
So at least if they're overpaying, it's not something that's going to screw with their roster construction down the line. For some guy who's just a just, you know, he fits into your bottom six now, but bottom six has changed so much because that's, you know, that's where all the action is. That's where, you know, line changes happen the most. That's where guys come in and out of the roster more often. That's where, you know, most of the NHL players who are on an NHL contract or, you know, a two-way contract, their position would be a bottom six winger or a bottom six forward. So
you are correct.
It's something to think about.
But I don't, as I said, like, can the Panthers be better than these teams? Maybe. We don't know yet.
Just how quickly does Q get his system involved, and how quickly do these, and not how quickly, but do these signings actually match that system? Because
other than Bobrovsky,
it's one thing for, like, you know, to when Q was in Chicago to sign free agents and match that, because it was already, like I was saying with Boston, it's an up and running. When you're bringing in a new coach to a new team and you're signing in free agents to kind of fit that system, you know, you're kind of betting on the system being there and the players being a fit for that system and the existing players that were already there, not the guys you're bringing in the system, to not only fit those free agent signings, but also to fit that system. There's just a lot going on. So, you know, I think for me, it would have been better to just go bargaining shopping for the Panthers with bottom six guys until you got that system up and running, until you saw what was working in the bottom six with Quenneville and how, you know, that everything happened. I just thought it's something odd to prioritize, but maybe it was something that Quenneville was vocal about prioritizing, and that would be something that I would excuse and wouldn't hold too much. But at the end of the day, it's bottom six forwards, so it's not make or break. Just to put a bow on it.
Yes, that's, I mean, fine. It is reasonable, everything that you would expect. You do talk a lot in some ways, yes. Let's focus on now some other signings and some other things that happened around the National Hockey League of the Arts. How about, I mean, I want to go more into that. Oh, the Senators. They're just going to have a bunch of Leafs washouts. Now, they do have a billion draft picks, and I mean, they're going to get a lot for J.G. Pageau and Connor Brown and Anthony Duclair, and somebody's going to want Ron Hainsey at the trade deadline, and so they're going to make some draft pick capital out of that, but they're going to be bad because, hey, maybe D.J. Smith wanted all of his old Leaf guys. So that's going to be really funny. There's going to be just as many Leafs on the ice for the Ottawa Senators as there will be Leafs fans in the stands, which is to say basically everybody. So congratulations to the Senators. At least you made the cap floor. Let's focus now on a couple other things that we saw. The Blackhawks decided to trade for Andrew Saw. I mean, like, apparently if you've played for the Blackhawks, you now have to come back and play for the Blackhawks again. Doesn't make any sense.
The Flyers also have that rule.
Yeah, I know. Jimmy Vesey was traded by the Rangers to the Sabres. The Sabres have acquired Colin Miller, Jimmy Vesey, just guys who, I guess, can't be quite as bad as the guys who were there before. But
would you have taken Colin Miller at that rate?
I mean, he's
instead of Stroman, because that's what it would have been, right? Because it's because he's a right-handed D, and he's that second, third pair right-handed D
of doing better things. But Miller would have been fine. I wouldn't have had an issue with it, and it wouldn't have cost them anything, and it would have been less of a cap. But the contract's longer, and that's the other thing.
I think Miller's individual performance may have been better, but especially over the life of the deal. But I think Stroman maybe influences the, you know, Matheson more. And I think, you know, if that's any angle to, hey, why are we paying you know, 5.5 for 3 years for Strowman, it's to get Mathisson on board, because, you know, that overpayment, if you get Mathisson back to what he's capable of, his contract's a bargain.
Yes.
And then that extra million you put on the Mathisson's contract, and then Mathisson's contract's fair and not a bargain anymore, and, you know, Strowman's is also fair, and it's fine. So
that's
the big swing. That's the big swing. And, like, you know, if you're looking at who was in our UFAs, there wasn't anybody else who had that kind of swing potential, that home run potential. And at least, you know, with Bobrovsky and Strowman, if they're overpaying, if they're setting themselves out for retaining salary or a buyout or a salary dump type of trade later down the line, they're guys that I think fit style, fit need, and help you win, mm-hmm. and help improve more people on the team. Help both, you know, rising tide lifts all ships, where, you know, the other two signings are trade deadline type acquisitions, signed to term, which mm-hmm. can go well if it fits Q's system, could be retained salary or buyouts or, you know, mm-hmm. headaches down the line, or just could be somewhere in between. Who knows?
I would tend to think it's somewhere in the middle of the, you could have gotten him at the trade deadline, and or, hey, Quenneville wanted a guy like this, let me give him one, etc., etc. A couple of other moves we should talk about. Joe Pavelski is going to look really weird playing for the Dallas Stars. So
great signing, though.
To Corey Perry, I mean, like, the Stars obviously need more goals. They didn't have enough of them, and they've got the defensive system for Jim Montgomery. That's a sneaky team next year.
And Pavelski just pretty much takes Spezza's cap hit. So comparing what they were getting out of Spezza last year getting, you know, even if, you know, Pavelski's maybe not, you know, tickling 40 goals next year like he was this year, but he's definitely going to be in the high 20s, possibly low 30s.
Now, there is a potential that we're going to see Andre Sequeira and Roman Polak playing on the same defensive pair. That's got some comedy.
What is this,
potential.
2009?
Yes, that's got some comedy potential. I really do like that. But
Would you have taken Sequeira in Florida? Because I heard that was an once there was a buyout. Yeah, and you know the same tax advantages, so it'd probably be similar.
Yeah, I mean, like, it would have been a flyer, but he's not good. So I mean, like, maybe, but I mean, Strowman's more of a sure thing because you don't want to ask too much of somebody like Sequeira in that way. That's got some comedy potential. Other signings, I mean, we joked about it earlier. Zuccarello and Ryan Hartman, who was a flyer for what, like 3 minutes to the Minnesota Wild?
Hartman at, what was it, 3.8 or something?
He's at 1.9. 1.9, 3.8 over 2 years.
Yeah, 3.8. For 2 years over, you know, Connolly. That's probably a move I would have made.
I don't like
but I mean, but see, that's the thing. That's what Brett Connolly is. Brett Connolly is this dime a dozen type player where people really like him just because he's a good guy or because of this or that. But when he comes to, like, his own ice performance, he's take it or leave it because there's just so many guys like him. And you can always just get a guy like that, whether it's on waivers, whether it's in a trade, any time of the day. You know, like Ryan Hartman was pretty easy to get how many times?
I mean, the Flyers traded him for Tyler Pitlick.
Right.
Who was a person you've never heard of before.
Tyler Pitlick, who has about the same value as Noel Achari. You know, like, it's these guys are just very easy to flip get. And, like, this is just something I expected them to do down the line and not put term behind it, but you know, if
it's a Q guy,
I'll just wait to see Martin Havlat as a PTO later in the summer, and then I'll start complaining.
Didn't we already do that once with that?
Okay. Oh, I think we've done it twice.
Oh, we might have done that twice. Other interesting moves: Gus Nyquist. Hi, I'm the I lost Artemi Panarin, so I'm signing Gus Nyquist. In Columbus, I don't know where they are as a team at this moment in time.
Yes, definitely in flux.
They are in a weird spot. I don't know what they are. I mean, their goaltending next year could be an absolute train wreck with Merzlikins and Korpisalo. Like, that could be a complete disaster, or it might work. But the good news is for Yarmo is because they didn't sign Matt Duchene, they get their first round pick back. So that's good.
Yeah, if I'm doing a little, like, you know, armchair assessment of Columbus, I think, you know, what they're doing, they just lost their president and their kind of their blueprint architect type guy, John Davidson. They replaced him with, some internal guys or whatever. And I think, you know, Kekalainen, after the big swing he made and losing a lot of guys through free agency and not having a lot of draft picks, he's kind of on his way out. So they're kind of evaluating what they're going to do with Kekalainen, Tortorella, whether the goalies they have in-house is going to be fine, whether Pierre-Luc Dubois is actually a good enough center.
Yep.
Without Panarin, because, you know, Panarin's pretty rare as a winger for how much play he drives and how much he holds the puck in all three zones and how much he gets the puck back, et cetera, and how much he's distributing the puck. Mm-hmm. It's less common for wingers, and that's usually a center's responsibility. So if, you know, Dubois can do it without Panarin and with, you know, technically a less talented forward group, that's good. That's something they can bank on. If Corbisalo or Elvis, I'm not going to try that last name.
It's Latin.
That does not help me.
I bet it doesn't.
If one of them kind of gets hot or shows they can at least be, you know, a 9-10 stopgap goalie for the rest of the year, they can at least be a spoiler, I think, in the East, embarrassing.
They're not a playoff team, though. They're not a playoff team.
No, I think they would need like an Ottawa Senators type run to get in, and I think that would also mean that they would need, you know, like Seth Jones or Zach Werenski to just go off, and they would also need a goalie to go off kind of in the way that Craig Anderson would. So
or Andrew Hammond.
It's possible and everything, but you know. We'll see.
Yeah, the New Jersey Devils can't get free agents to sign there, but Wayne Simmonds signed there for 1 year at $5 million. That's funny.
I would have taken that bet if I were some teams. I don't know if Florida is one of those teams, or Philadelphia or Colorado is one of those teams.
Simmonds made sense for New Jersey because of what he is and what he can be. I'm okay with that.
And I don't think he would take a 1 year deal for teams that far away from Philadelphia, to be honest with you. Maybe I think because he can. You know, maybe it's a little more homey to kind of just be in that tri-state
as you
area.
Said, the Avs, they signed Belmar, which was interesting, for 1.8 over 2 years. He's fine.
That's a type of forward, you know, I think that's kind of their bargain Soderberg replacement. He plays in a very similar style to Soderberg. And like Soderberg, he can, you know, disappear from the offense for a while or, you know, not be an offensive contributor.
Yeah, they also, of course, they added in Donskoy, which, as I said, I would have wanted the Panthers to do that if it not for, I would assume things happened in the past to make it so the Panthers couldn't sign him, because that's a great contract. I love
Colorado has the most cap space right now.
Yes, they do. But, I mean, all that's going basically into Rand.
Had one of the best drafts. Had one of the best free agency periods already, and have had two of the most exciting playoff runs, or you know, late season runs the last 2 years.
And they still could trade Tyson Barrie.
Right, and you know is that an issue for me signing a guy like Strowman instead of going out and getting a guy like Tyson Barrie who's going to have the same cap hit. And yeah, he's going to back up to a UFA, but again, that gives you more flexibility. And I thought a lot of, you know, Florida, besides for Panarin and Burofsky, obviously, which the ownership, the front office said, we're willing to budge on our cap structure for those two. So you just got to accept it and just kind of deal with it. But outside those guys, you know, Barry helps with that flexibility, the ability to keep your own prospects, to bring in new guys when you need to be a player in free agency or in the trade market whenever you need to at a internal cap type of
situation. I got to think that the Leafs are going to be interested in Tyson Barrie. I got to think that the Leafs would be interested in that.
Right. I mean,
that would suck for me
because I really like Tyson Barrie. I think for all of the quote unquote offensive only defensemen, he's the best in his own zone without the puck. Yeah. I think he would have been a great get and somebody that I would have been willing to, you know, sign for a decent contract after, and maybe we could keep him off the market and keep that number low if he has a good year and likes the team or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe it's still possible. Maybe they do see, whether Ekblad or Uyghur, you know, on the left side, and you know, but we have a four to two righty split right now, and so adding another righty just doesn't seem possible.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it would make sense. In terms of other things, I mean, the Predators signed Matt Duchene. Duh, of course they did. That's not a surprise.
Right, and that's a guy who took a discount because, like you said, he has a kid now, and it was all about what city can I see raising my kid in. And when
also,
you think Matt Duchene,
he likes country music more than right. a little bit.
I was just gonna say, if you think Matt Duchene, you think of country music, and if you think of like his family and how he'd want to raise a family, you think Nashville out of all the hockey teams.
Oh, well, whether it makes the Predators actually better, I have no idea.
I mean, I think it's a better shot in the dark than Kyle Torres for sure, and possibly even Ryan Johansson. But I think between Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene, you're at least able to better support yourself into the playoffs, which their goaltending and defense is usually good enough to get to.
Yeah, they can do well with Johansson, Duchene, and Granlund as your three centers. I think they'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's probably – it has to be the best centers they've ever had.
Probably.
Well, and I think, you know, for the same reason that Panthers are going to be saying and, you know, leaning on this is the best offseason we've had, this is the best gold, you know, this is the most money we've spent, blah, blah, blah. Nashville is going to be leaning that same way, saying, you know, say whatever you want about Matt Duchene and what we had to give up just to get the room to sign him, let alone the contract and his ability to live up to it. But this is the best center group we ever had, and the one knock we've always had is we can't have centers.
Yeah.
You can't get centers.
Yep. The other big trade from the weekend, Phil Kessel.
Arizona. That used to be a joke when he was kind of on the trade market with the Leafs that, oh, yeah, Phil Kessel's going to end up in Arizona. What a perfect fit for that type of player. Ha, 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 with that, you know, Toronto Maple Leaf media. Here it is. It's real.
It's a real trade. I actually think it's going to work for the Coyotes because they need somebody who, you know, could put the puck in the net without any effort because they do a lot of other things well. And obviously, if anybody could get the best out of him, it'll be Rick Tocchet. To be honest, I mean, I didn't think they gave up all that much. Like, Galchenyuk didn't play well. He was injured last year. Boy, his star has fallen. I want to get to something about that 2012 draft in a second.
Isn't that what Pittsburgh usually goes for, those fallen stars, Bjugstad, McCann, Galchenyuk? They kind of live on that, let's get former first-rounders.
And see if it works. I mean, well, they
especially with
four,
forwards. Especially with
Brandon
forwards.
Tanev, in which case you get a six-year contract. I'm never going to stop laughing at that because that's hilarious. Or if you're trading for Erik Branson, another former first-round pick.
Hey. Pittsburgh, I mean, at least I'll say this. Gudbranson played well as a Penguin so far.
Because it was so bad with Jack Johnson.
Yes. But, you know.
Anyway, by the way, here's the best thing about the Coyotes. I love what Arizona's done. The Coyotes have nearly $80 million in cap hit, right? They're bumping right up against the cap. But their salary expenditure is $68 million.
Beautiful and
amazing GMing by
Kessel,
John Chayka.
The Kessel trade is a huge win, not only for Chayka, who
I want more than the Arizona Coyotes to be in the playoffs next year in the West. Right.
But you know, this is a new ownership group, and after the whole mess with Barraway, who you know was going to get the team, then wasn't going to get the team, then was going to get the team, then wasn't going to get the team, then finally got the team, and then didn't spend money, and then didn't win, and then sold the team pretty quickly. You know, they needed a win, and to get a guy like Phil Kessel to waive a no-trade clause to say, I only want to come to Arizona, big. That's big.
I really, really like that trade for Arizona. For the Penguins, it really does feel like they're teetering on the edge. Because last year we said, oh, it's going to be the Wild. The Wild are going to be the team that's going to fall off, and then they did. We didn't expect necessarily with Anaheim, but they're going to fall off, and then they did. Now, like, what's the next team that's, like, been good but could fall off? I think it's the Penguins. I'm nervous about them. I mean, obviously Columbus because the players they lost, but
You fall off with Crosby and Malkin? If they're both healthy, can they fall off?
They can't. Let's put it that way. I'm talking about, like, I don't think they can win a playoff round the way they are right now.
Okay.
I'm not necessarily
So that's so you're saying
relatively speaking,
off.
Because Minnesota fell off and missed the playoffs. We're reaching the point like are the Penguins just in it because they want to be in it? You know what I mean?
It's really the defense. I mean, the goaltending I think is fine. You have Matt Murray on a 1-year contract, 3.75. Yeah, he's arbitration eligible next year, but I think that there's enough evidence to show his regular season play, not his playoff play, but his regular season play is pretty spotty. So maybe you're thinking,
you give up a decent shot
in arbitration.
$5 million over 6 years to Brandon Tanev, who you already gave to Brian Rust. Why? Yeah.
But in net you have Jari. Also, you have Casey DeSmith. Not too bad. They have decent.
Here's the other thing.
I think their offense is fine. Like, I mean,
they can't stop. They couldn't stop. I mean, that D can't stop a beach ball. And they're
that's the problem. That's the D. What do you do with the D? I mean, I don't think losing Justin Schultz is a huge issue, especially.
It is.
Well, not. I mean, it is if they only replace him with the D that the Penguins have been using. But
they don't have a point system, though. That's the other problem.
Yeah, where are they going to get D and how are they going to get D? And, you know, the D that they have been getting on the Rutherford have been progressively worse. Yeah. So
I'm not sure they're going to miss the playoffs, but right now in the Metro, the only team that I can definitively say that's better as a regular season team than them is Washington. Other than that, I can't
say. The third best defenseman for the Penguins is Ricola.
Or Marcus Pettersson.
I would say Marcus Patterson is the second best defenseman for the Penguins. That's how bad it is.
Behind Letang, it's
Letang, Patterson, Ricola. You know, maybe Dumoulin. I mean, I'm not a big Dumoulin guy, but there's a lot of Dumoulin.
It's bad there. Like as I'm saying, like because the Flyers didn't do a ton to make me go, oh yeah, they're better than Pittsburgh. I mean,
Florida Panthers signed Tommy Cross.
Oh, that's another former Boston guy.
That's a former Boston. Well, former Boston guy, but a Westminster Prep School Martlet, and this podcast, this Why Hockey, has always been a Westminster Prep support podcast.
So you know that means we're getting him on the show soon, right?
We might be able to.
Also, apparently signed.
We do have somewhat connections. We do have Matt O'Brien's.
I have seen that they have signed a defenseman to an AHL contract. They have signed Ethan Prowl, who was had 50 points last year for Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah, I mean, they're not.
No, they're not actually two-way contracts. But I mean, like.
Yeah, they're just two-way contracts to help.
They need to sign AHL bodies, and those are guys who are going to be fine. Prowl is essentially replacing McDonald and Melchiori, and it's fine, as long as they're not playing whoever the hell they played on D. That's acceptable.
Yeah, I mean.
I know.
We'll see how they're used and everything, but it's just funny. Friend of the show, Tommy Cross.
There you go. So those are your two. Those are all again, basic bargain basement entry level. Other deals, I think, that were interesting. I mean, what do you want to say about the Flyers? Because they basically
did what they needed to do, which was just sign a bunch of AHL guys because
they don't
other than
left.
Once they did Hayes. They were done. Once they got their D that in the two right-handed D in the trade, they were done. There was nothing really more for them to do. They have their goalies. Yeah,
now,
they probably.
What are they going to be?
They probably need a top nine winger, but you're thinking, you know, maybe that's Lindblom taking a step. That's, you know, Vorbyev. That's somebody taking a step.
He is very supportive of the LGBT community, and publicly doing that in hockey is not something that people do, so good for him.
Well, I'll say this. Lehigh Valley Phantoms basically needed to rebuild their AHL team and they always like to get a lot of good character, actually good AHL performers. So, you know, I think, you know, that's what they did. You know, this is a franchise that, you know, made Danny Sabretta a pretty productive AHL and pretty, you know, for the AHL, pretty well paid defender. And it's a good city and town to play with the AHL. So they always get these. They always get these good. They have a pretty nice rink and pretty good fan base.
Allentown.
Yeah, I mean, you can live not too far from Allentown and have a pretty nice house and
you can go to Dorney Park.
Yes, you're not too far from Dorney Park. I learned that when I was trying to get on 78 to get up to New Hampshire after the Phish concert this past weekend, and I
Oh
had to
my
go to
God.
Dorney Park on a detour.
Dorney Park's wonderful. Very good water park at Dorney Park. I'm a big fan of it over there. Like that. Like the stuff there. I've been there quite a bit. In terms of other things that I'm just looking at, I can't. I
Robin
mean,
Lehner, five. It's
yeah,
five
one
million for
five
1 year.
for Chicago. Like, well,
Would you rather that than Bobrovsky? Yes or no?
You see, the thing with Robin Lehner that I'm worried about is he has to be in the right kind of environment to succeed, given the support that he needs. And I always wonder whether the Panthers could actually do that. You know what I
Well,
mean?
yeah, it's more risky, and at the end of the day, Florida couldn't take any more
No.
chances.
Well,
So.
I mean, if the Panthers had the people who could support him and give him all that they need, you know, like that would have been fine. But I mean, they've got $11 million in goaltending next year, by the way, with Crawford and like, are they a playoff
Well,
team?
plus Luongo's, and they're paying for two goalies to not play for them, plus the two goalies that they're paying a lot, well,
Yeah, that's
Bobrovsky a lot.
exactly. Yeah. Well,
So
do you
it's
are the Blackhawks even a team that could like what are they? Like, are they a good team? I don't know.
I think that they will be a kind of like the same as the Devils, the same as like the Blue Jackets, just, they might be on the bubble, they might be just outside the bubble,
Yeah, they
but
don't.
they're not going to be, I don't think they're going to be drafting, unless they win the lottery, I don't think they're going to be drafting top five.
No, yeah, I could see that. That's an interesting one. 2 years for Mrazek with Carolina. I mean, they also, I mean, Mrazek and Reimer is an interesting goaltending duo for them. I mean, they added Erik Haula. Obviously, you know, they want a quarter of the market on Finns, as we said. They are going to sign Sebastian Aho to that, matching that offer sheet. We know that's going to happen. I just, like, I wonder how much last year for them was just a thing that worked really, really well, and it might not work again. I just don't know about that for Carolina. I don't.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating one. I'm trying to think if there was anything else that I saw that I don't think there was anything. I mean,
I want to say the David Schlemko buyout in Philadelphia.
yeah.
I know that's not a big thing, but I was kind of worried, wondering why Philadelphia bought him out. That seemed like an unnecessary buyout when they could have buried him and just used him. But it appears Fletcher said that it was kind of a human element. They wanted him to have a chance in a place where he could play top minutes in the AHL, and this is the best way to do it. So
That's good
that
for
kind of
him.
makes sense.
That's good for him, Schlemcode, if you listen to him on the
Yeah.
podcast, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, he's a popular player to bring up every once in a while, so I
Yeah,
figured
oh,
worth talking
yes.
about.
By the way, you know what I've just seen happen on Twitter? Bobby Margarita's returned.
He's done. He's
Oh,
going home.
he might be done, but he looks like he's close to done. Bobby Margarita is back on the air, or on Twitter at least.
Yeah, there's no big free agents really left except Jake Gardner,
Yeah,
and
Gardner did well
there's
trade.
been,
Well, RFAs, RFAs.
yeah.
That's gonna go on for a while. And
So,
Bob McKenzie's gonna be at the college. It'll be Elliot Friedman's
Gardner
time.
is a UFA that, let's not put Florida out on. That's, if we're talking about a top four left-handed defenseman, he might not fit the style or,
He's not signing. They don't have the cap room to do it.
right. Well,
They don't.
you
It
never
has
know.
it.
He hasn't been signed yet, and there's been nothing, no rumors, nothing
I
around
don't
him.
even know where he could go.
Exactly. So maybe he's not getting any bites. Maybe he would take a, maybe he would take a, say, a
Prove it to
five
me.
million deal for 2 years or something like that,
That would be
Florida
the
would
only way
say.
I'd sign him. That's the only way
Right,
I'd even
but
consider it.
another one, Zadorov, is an RFA. That's obviously not somebody that you would get with how much cap space we just said Colorado has. You can't, offer sheet him. That's not going to work. And especially at that cap level that you would want him at, there's no point in offer sheeting him at. But I think that's somebody with how many defensemen Colorado has, and how many they have on the left. I think that's somebody that Colorado might want to get some value back on and kind of sign a 1 year deal and kind of just keep yo-yoing up and down the lineup and dealing with him. He had a great year, and this is definitely a good year to sell high if you're Colorado and you don't know if he's going to continue it. I definitely think he's a little bit of a risky buy, but I think he fits the cap space left Florida has and the need. And, he could play with Ekblad. He could play up there. I think he has the endurance and the defensive skill, especially breaking up plays at the blue line, to do it and in front of the net.
There's that. I mean, that's pretty much it. Like, Anders Lee re-signed with the Islanders because the Islanders lost out on absolutely everybody else.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much it, but that's obviously not it for Florida because, you know, we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, they only have 29 contracts and there's 50 contract spots. Last year, yeah, they left, what, 10, yeah, 9 contracts.
Don't forget about your boy Tommy Cross and Ethan Prowl. They just signed.
Yes, that's right. Those are contracts. So there are 41.
There are 31.
So
those are two. There are 31. You have to get Malgin. You have to get Uyghur, McCaution, Montembeau. So that would
be... There still should be, you know, three or four more guys coming into the team, into the fold that we haven't seen yet. Whether they're, you know, Tommy Cross, Ethan Prowl levels, or, you know, they might be Noel Achary or, you know,
as
somebody.
I said, the other RFAs are Dryden Hunt,
Troy Brower, Marco,
Greco, Toninato, who they got in the trade for McDonald, Hauerluck, Mammon. They tendered an offer to keep his rights, but he's not going to sign. So yeah. if they sign everybody, including Šemtić, they're going to be about 40, 41 contracts. They might add one or two more guys.
I don't know if they signed the guy they got back from Colorado for McDonald.
I think they do.
Depends. It depends.
He's a useful AHL body. He'd be fine.
They got a lot of centers. And so they got probably more centers than they need. So I don't think all of them are going to stay. And I think they only going to want to keep so many contracts. So
we'll see how that goes on. But as I said, it's Bobrovsky, it's Strahlman, it's Connolly, it's Achary. The first two, yeah. But as I said, like, so that's free agency. It's all done, and everyone goes to the cottage, or in Dale Town's case, goes to the golf course. Bob Strahlman. Connolly, Achary, not the worst, not the best. Where does it leave the Panthers? As I said, they are a playoff bubble team at this point. They are not a guaranteed playoff team, but right now I only think there are four legitimate guaranteed playoff teams in the East when you look at who they are. Top three in the Atlantic and then Washington, and then everybody else is scrambling. Can the Panthers get there? Lord willing, they do. Obviously, as I said, having Bobrovsky makes this team better because he is Sergei Bobrovsky. Having Joel Quenneville makes them better because he is a real coach and not Bob Boogner, who, by the way, is back in San Jose. I think we mentioned that, but I don't know if we mentioned it. You know who else got hired as an assistant coach? Another great name. Davis Payne. You remember that?
St. Louis Blues, Davis Payne?
Yeah, Davis Payne. With the Senators. What a great coaching staff DJ Smith assembled with Jack Capuano and Davis Payne. Ugh.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just a left-handed defender. I mean, I think that's really the only thing left that you kind of have to expect. I'd be pretty shocked if they didn't add a left-handed defender.
And a Pesek trade.
Or, you know, a trade. I don't know if it'll be hopefully it's a Pesek trade because that means they added a defenseman. But,
I think that,
you know,
Pesek is going to get traded. I think they're going to find a D. If it's a flyer on a guy, who knows? We'll see what they end up doing. I think that's really about it. But as I said, it's Strahlman, pretty good. Bob, we knew it was coming. Connolly, I will defend. Tommy doesn't. And Achary, there's no really reason for it. But more. But as I said, like they got one of two. And while it certainly looked from the outside like maybe Panarin was going to come, when you look at it in hindsight, seems pretty obvious that he wasn't going to. So now you have a Panthers team that has its goaltender. By the way, Frank Vatrano now going to wear 77. He's the best 77 in Florida Panthers history, and he hasn't even skated with that jersey on yet.
I'm not sure. I really like Chris Gratton.
Oh, God.
Chris Gratton has tormented my whole childhood. So.
How much money do you think Bob paid to Frank Vatrano to get 72?
I don't know, but Frank Vatrano had a few funny tweets about it.
He did, but he didn't say he paid me $1 million, so his contract is worth $69 million. He should have said that. I think Jonathan Huberdeau is excited about playing with him, because now he's not going to stop all the pucks that were thrown his way.
If he's healthy, if he plays to what he's capable of, the problem is it's just goalies. I mean, who knows with goalies?
They are, and you just but as I said,
you just put 1/8 of the cap into goalies.
Yes. Well, at least they got out from Reimer, and they did it in a very creative way.
And it's from Luongo. Yeah. And again, I know, obviously, I wanted Bobrovsky signed, and like I said, $10 million at 7 years was, I'm fine with. I would have made, if I was the GM, I would have made the same contract offer myself and got the deal done.
Because you need
them. So I'm happy. Yeah, because you need them. There's no other options. You know, it just, man, this really makes, this really, you know, Spencer Knight, it just, yeah, there's just a lot of uncertainty and a lot of risk in the Panthers goaltending situation still. Mm-hmm. And that kind of makes me squeamish.
But
there's a lot of risk in the bottom six production, which, you know, I think, you know, the big reason Florida missed the playoffs last year, you know, behind, right after
behind,
couldn't get a
no
save. They couldn't get a save, but I think part of the defensive structure issues was they only had five forwards that could carry play. Six forwards at best who could carry play.
Well, you had Borgstrom, a real version of Borgstrom.
You're hoping, yeah.
I mean, like, as I said, like, that, maybe Hempo Niemi if he makes the roster. Like, that's the other thing you hope for. And that's why I'm saying, like, maybe a Sevier trade happens later because, like, if Hempo Niemi does so well that you have to have him on the roster, something like that. By the way, I want to mention this right off the top of the show. We saw Josh Weisbach, he of Canucks Army, he of Computer Boys. He's saying he's taking a new job in Colorado. His avatar is Colorado. Now, we don't know whether that means he's taking a job with the Avalanche or his day job is moving to Colorado. I really hope it's the latter. But if it's the former, hey, Panthers, there are plenty of good people out there you could hire to work on your drafts. Please do that. Apparently have enough money to go after Quenneville and all these free agents. Sign monies to buff up your analytics people. We will never stop saying you should do that. You should absolutely do that. We know for a fact that Dale Talon has said, I don't mind analytics. I like them. Hire the people to help you out, please. That's easy to do. Oh, by the way, Brian McDonald, hired by ESPN. That's fantastic, by the way. Very good for him.
It's a much better pace than doing ticket sales models, which he was doing.
Basically what he did.
Yeah, which I'm sure he was really happy about.
I'm sure he loved doing that for the Panthers.
Yeah.
But I do know that ESPN is good. And they also hired a really good college football writer.
Like ESPN cares about hockey when they have the opportunity to own the national television rights, or at least a part of the national television
rights. They're getting a part of them. I don't know how much they're going to get of them.
They'll put money into hockey and focus on hockey.
Well, they hired my friend Greg Wyshynski, you know, Maryland alum Greg Wyshynski.
Exactly, and
Kaplan. Can't forget
it's Emily because Kaplan. It's because the TV broadcast, you know, contracts were coming up.
I'm going to say this: ESPN's probably, I don't know how much of the contract they're going to get, but they're going to get some of it.
And I know a lot of people throw The Athletic up as like the standard. I would say ESPN isn't that far behind. If you know, based on the quality of writing and all that stuff, you know, I think The Athletic just has a lot of
pipe. Trying to butter up Wish to get him on this show.
No, and I'm not just talking about Wish. I'm talking, you know,
Emily
Chris
Kaplan.
Peters and Emily Kaplan, of course. I thought that was Emily Kaplan's probably my favorite at ESPN.
Well, I'm deferring to Wish because I've interviewed him multiple times and he's a Maryland alum. I have to defer to Terps. I have everything I can say. I got to defer to Terps.
Yeah, I mean, Wish is. Nothing wrong with them.
So that's a very interesting time in our lives as we now look towards the long dead off season where we can talk about Aaron Wan-Bissaka being sold to Manchester United.
I can't. I mean, let's hope they use the money, but I don't think they will, which is the only painful part.
Well, I mean, it could be worse. Actually, I don't know what could be worse right now in the Premier League. Well, Tottenham's about to sign. Whatever the Panthers did today doesn't matter because Tottenham's about to sign Tanguy Ndombele, a fantastic midfielder from Lyon, who everybody agrees is awesome and now is going to be in a midfield, perhaps with Moussa Sissoko, and I'm going to love every Saturday morning I watch a Tottenham game because the midfield's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited for that. Oh, and I did get to, you know, we talked in the mixed zone with the U.S. men's national team, which, you know, not as nearly good as the Queen of America, Megan Rapinoe, who is obviously the best American that has ever lived. There can be no disputing that.
More so than Landon Donovan, but that's a podcast topic for another day.
Well, that's a podcast topic for another day, but Megan Rapinoe is also, you know, has been more impactful on U.S. teams winning than Landon Donovan. Landon, I love you, but Megan Rapinoe is just the best thing ever. If you do not love Megan Rapinoe,
better celebrations, better goal celebrations.
Well, that leg fart celebration was terrible. But if that's the worst that she's done, I mean, by the way, sorry England, you're about to get dunked on. Although what I am worried about, though, it's not Pride Month anymore, so is she still going to have her superpowers?
No, I think Little Nas just
I know, like
Nas X just extended it.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right. You might actually.
I think we get through the 4th of July because you know his like song, especially the EP just came out. It's definitely playing all through 4th of July.
Taylor Swift did a song about basically stop being idiots towards the LGBT community. Then Lil Nas X comes out and it's like, hey Taylor, he would just hit you with a big giant wrecking ball. That's spectacularly good, by the way. You want to know what he tweeted earlier? I think it was like a day or two ago, or it might have been like yesterday. I favorited it. This tweet is spectacular. If I could find it, where is that tweet? I think I favorited it.
Oh, was it the one saying that, you know, some of y'all might not, like, follow me anymore, but...
Yeah, I mean, pretty much this way, like, all the whole thing. It is amazing. He's like literally tweeting, like, hold on, Old Town Road is literally about horses. Yes. And then he's like, it is true that I am a guy. It's amazing. Well, I think his coming out tweet is basically like just a thing with a rainbow building. It's hilarious. I love that. Spectacular. So there you go, everybody. That's LGBTQ rights. Also, the NHL had Brock McGillis in a bunch of tweets, which was very nice. But obviously, you know, hey, NHL, you need to do a lot more than you're doing. But at least you did that, so you get a pass. For today, my friends in the NHL, you get a pass. That's about all you get, but you get a pass.
Yeah, unfortunately, under Bettman, that's usually like best you can hope for.
Well, we've cleared the bar at the Marianas Trench. If you don't know what that is, it's the deepest place underneath the ocean. It's like 30,000 feet below sea level. If you didn't know that, now you do.
It's like saying, you know, well, at least Brett Connolly is better than Riley Sheehan. At least Achari is better than
Derek McKenzie.
Which that's, for some people, that's all they can really come up with. And, you know, yes, Florida got a goalie. Yes, Florida got a defenseman. But, you know, that defenseman have to kind of go out on the ice and play.
Well, you know what they need?
We still need a defenseman. We still need some other stuff.
So you know who they have?
Barkov, which is, you know,
the best human being that there has been other than Megan Rapinoe. By the way, no, this is just me saying something.
Can we get her and Emily P and just go off?
Maybe.
I mean, buy Angie Y to coach the team with Coach Q and see what happens.
You want to talk about LGBTQ rights? There you go. That's what we need.
We want to talk about just being right about a lot in Florida Panthers history.
Well, we're always on the right side of history there.
Well, Angie is what I was speaking to.
She's always on the right side of history when it comes to this hockey team.
That's for sure.
This is correct. Shout out, Angie. Hope you're listening. Anyway, maybe throughout this summer, if the Panthers do something ridiculous, you'll probably hear from us. You might hear interviews with people. We'll try to work some things out. But
I'm just happy to be talking about signing bottom six guys to term again in July.
Oh man, so excited about that! My God,
feels like my birthday month.
My birthday's in it's July. It is July. Your birthday.
Should I go see Fish at Fenway this weekend?
You are going to do that.
Yeah, probably. I've never been to Fenway before.
I haven't been to Fenway either. But once you leave Fenway,
if I could see Fish at Fenway and see the Phillies at Fenway. You know, it's a lot of PHs at Fenway. I think he'll be happy.
Oh, God. Is we legal in Massachusetts?
I mean, I'm going to make it.
Well, I mean, you're going for Fish Conference in Fenway. It's about to be legal. I mean, geez. It is amazing. Anyway, why hockey? As I said, we're not going to go completely away for 2 months. I'll try to have some interviews set up, and maybe we'll think of some stuff for you.
Florida's definitely going to be doing something in the next couple of days.
Let's put it this way. If something crazy happens with the Mitch Marner offer sheet, we'll have to talk about it.
Or a Rantanen offer sheet, or a Point offer sheet.
Or a Brock Besser. Oh, he can't be offer sheeted. Damn. Or a Kyle Connor offer sheet, but I know that already is a sensitive subject for you.
Would you be okay with the Panthers offer sheeting Kyle Connor, knowing that they'd be giving up assets to get somebody that they willingly passed over in a draft for free? Like 3 years ago.
That would be weird, but remember who passed up on Kyle Connor?
Tyson Barry heading to the Leafs. Boom. Like
you
said.
Did that just happen?
Chris Johnston, reporter Chris.
CJ just tweeted that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Oh, wow. That
Tyson Barry curfew.
4 seconds ago.
Holy cow. Tyson Barry and Kerfoot for Kadri and Rosen and a third.
Wow, that's a big deal.
Colorado also retaining 50% of Barry's.
But so I hope you stayed around for that. Hope you stayed around for that trade. Well, you know the Avs wanted to get tougher. That's a big one.
I don't like letting Barry go for getting into the division. Could Florida match that trade? Probably not with the center. You know, if they wanted, but I can't believe Colorado let Kerfoot go. Kerfoot, I guess that was an RFA.
He was an RFA. That adds a little bit more depth. Have they where's the full tweet with that trade?
D. Rosen, NHL.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Retweeted by Friedman.
Oh, retweeted by Friedge. Okay, so this is tap dancing at the end of the podcast. Yep. Avalanche acquires Kadri and Rosen, Callie Rosen, Tyson Barry, Kerfoot, and a 6th-round pick. I like that trade for Toronto more than I like it for the Avs. The Avs, I guess, needed a guy like Nazem Kadri, but...
Once again, teams line up to help Toronto out of a jam.
No, it's annoying.
For a fraction of the price they could get.
Yes.
If they made Toronto sweat a little more, if you made Toronto have to deal with stuff after July 1st,
can we
right?
not make Mike Dixon sweat at the very least?
It's just...
I'm okay with making sure that Mike is not sweating, because I like him. Mike and Paige are good.
Yeah, but this is a good trade.
Oh, it's a very good trade for Toronto. And so, by the way,
I like Callie Rosen.
You know all the things we said about the Leafs earlier in this show? Some of that's still true.
What does this do for the Leafs day?
What does this do for the Leafs D? It means it's not nearly as bad as it was.
Can Florida pick off?
I mean, any number of their minor league D? Andreas Borgman, maybe? I mean, they did just sign a Swede, so I guess they could get... Well, they're not getting Sandin, so let's not even bother with that. Borgman's the only guy. Maybe you just... You trade one of your... You trade a six-round...
Yeah, well,
six
I mean, they got out. Morgan, Muzzin, Dermott, and CeCe. They have Gravel, Marison, Harper, Hull, who are probably like hit
or
miss.
They're all going to be AHL bodies.
Right. But then.
Remember, Dermott's going to miss the start of the season. If you're top three, that's Riley, Muzzin, and Barry.
But they got Mac Holloway.
Hollowell.
Yeah, Hollowell. They got Jesper Lindgren, Borgman, Sandin, Liljegren. Who are all kind of at that same level, and they need more NHL-ready D. This could maybe be a Piskett for Boardman move.
Let's do it.
Or Pisick and, I mean, I don't know how good the prospect would have to be, but Pisick and a prospect or Pisick and a pick for Liljegren, because I know, Toronto has decided, Toronto, or like, even a Hollowell or something
I
like
think
that.
Maybe,
or...
I think you can maybe do something like that. Speak of the devil.
But they have, They have two right-hand defenders. They have Cody Ceci and Justin Hall. I feel like they would take Mark Pisick for the 1 year.
Yes. Hey, I saw some Leafs fans saying they wanted Mark Pisick. I've seen Leafs fans say they want that.
I guess they have two right-handed defensemen now with Barry, but... I think... I really like Tyson Barry as a player. So as a Colorado fan, that's saying, as somebody who's a fan of a team that has to be in the same division as the Leaf.
I like that trade a lot more for the Leafs than I do for Colorado. I like that trade a lot more, and especially because Barry's 50% retained. Because, you look at now that cap hit with Barry, they're still in pretty good shape cap-wise. Kerfoot.
They must really like Tyson Jost, because I thought Kerfoot I would have rather kept Kerfoot than Jost. I know if you're looking at the age and all of that and how much you invested into getting a player, Kerfoot was somebody you got for free as an undrafted, a college free agent. Tyson Jost was a first rounder, so maybe you don't want to give up on him so easily. But, Kerfoot, it's Barry obviously was somebody that was probably going to go. He was in rumors for 3 years now, right?
Yeah.
They finally have the defensive group to make him expendable, and they need – and they're challenging to compete. They want to get better, so they,
If you add Rosen to Makar and Girard and Zadorov, you're all right there on the back end for the Avs.
Yeah, Sakic's definitely going pretty specialty. He's definitely looking at the game Rosen plays, and – if I had to compare it to anybody, he's a younger Strawman, and Strawman came out of the Toronto pipeline as well. So,
now that they've basically they added Belmar and Kadri, they are going to be much more of an annoying team than they once were. That's definitely true now.
Kadri's a big get, and that's a big improvement over Soderberg.
They had nothing outside of their top six. They've got a little bit more now, but I like that trade for the Avs. I love it for the Leafs. It is amazing to see Kyle Dubas do all of that and have to not give up anything basically other than a first-round pick to get rid of Marleau, DeBrown, and Zaitsev, and Kadri. And they still have enough room to do a semi-decent Mitch Marner contract. Now, they still have some guys on RFAs that they're going to have to sign, just basically looking at the cap-friendly page. But the biggest problem that I'm going to see for them right now is, what is their backup goaltending situation? Are they going to run Freddie Anderson to the ground again? But now that they add Kerfoot, that's good bottom six depth. Now losing Kadri, who's their third line center now?
Kerfoot.
Is it going to be him?
No. They'll probably find someone else. That's probably the backup. They have Matthews, Tavares, Nylander, Shore.
But do you want Nick Shore being your third line center?
Who else do they have?
Frederick Gauthier?
Adam Brooks.
I don't think that's gonna happen. I think it's gonna. Well, as I said, I like that trade for Colorado. I love that.
I heard that the Leafs were also looking at Noah Chari or whatever for whatever that counts to you. Podcast.
The Leafs were looking at the same things that we did. This is still being recorded, by the way, but it's just fine. I'm glad we waited because now we got to talk about that trade, which is very interesting. And by the way, I want to say because I love Steve DeAngle, and I went to a sports casting seminar this weekend, and the only thing I was thinking about was, oh, by the way, weird career paths. Here's Steve DeAngle. I just read his book, and obviously I like his work, and I'm sure he's really enjoying himself now because he just tweeted, "I friggin' just took off my pants." I'm more inclined to think of that, but Steve, it's okay. It's Twitter. Calm down. By the way, Varlamov is 4 years, $5 million for Varlamov, according to Friedman.
I would have taken the chance on Lehner.
Yeah, I would have had Lehner over Varlamov at that, I would think.
I mean, if take the risk on the goalie you know versus the goalie you don't know.
The devil you do versus the devil. The Islanders, too, last year they made the playoffs, and they have literally changed nothing on their roster except the goalie. You're not a little bit worried about that for the Islanders?
I mean, I'm worried about a lot for the Islanders. I'm worried that they literally have, like, 1.5 players.
Matt Barzal?
Yeah, I mean, no, I shouldn't say that. The Islanders have done pretty good, and they might, you know, if I'm being honest, they might be where we procure left defensemen. You know, I think Nick Leddy's probably available. And
Devin Taves. Devon Taves. I'd be okay with that. Yeah, Devon Taves is the answer to your question, sir. Or we could get the others of Edson Aho.
Devon Taves.
He had a really good year last year. A lot of Islanders fans liked him.
I mean, I'm willing to try whatever at left-handed defenseman as long as you think there's a possibility that he could be a second-pairing left-handed defenseman. Because even if you're banking on Yandel and Matheson improving and being able to be top four defensemen, you kind of have to be prepared for one of them not to be. Because you're asking your, you know, if you bring in some, you're asking right now all of your left-hand defensemen to have considerable better years than they've had defensively in their career. And that's a big ask for 3-4 left-handed defensemen in your lineup to do.
One more question about this before we legitimately end the show. While we were tap dancing, and then the Leafs made a trade, and then things happened. So where does this leave now that the Atlantic? I think we should end on this. Where does this leave the Atlantic? How do you think it sizes up? If assuming nothing else crazy happens, like where do you think we stand in the Atlantic Division as we speak? I still think we're in the same order. Tampa, Toronto, maybe Tampa, Toronto, Boston, then Florida.
I see it as Boston, Tampa, Toronto.
And then Florida.
I'll say Boston because I think out between Tampa and Toronto, they can get the most results through the playoffs than the other two franchises have historically.
This is true.
And, you know, with a whole range of talents, they've been able to find diamonds in the rough midseason they've been able to go with low talent teams deep in the playoffs. They've done it all. And I think so that, and, you know, the recent bias, you know, they were just in the Stanley Cup final. They're not really losing any big pieces. No. Yes, Chara is going to be older, but you know, I do like Carlo, I do like Grizzlick, and I do like,
you know,
McAvoy.
The Panthers needed a defenseman like
Grizzlick, Carlo.
Grizzlick and Carlo, yeah. They don't have one of those yet. If they had one of those, maybe they draft one next year, then that's a big thing for the Panthers. If they could get a defenseman like that, you know, that would be big. The reason why I was never like, oh, the Panthers should go on Tyson Barrie is because it's like he's still, while he's good, he's still too like Matheson, Ekblad, and Yandel. And at least Strom was not like that. Anyway, I think that's the real end of the Why Hockey podcast, at least for now. But join us when Steve Dangle...
It's over 2 hours. About, oh, yeah.
Almost 2 hours. Join us when Steve Dangle talks about the Tyson Barrie trade.